This is a life-transforming message from Life by Design Ministries in Denver, Colorado. And now let's join the founder and senior pastor, Pastor Peter Taft.
Am I talking to the right crowd? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory, God, for this prepared word that you have for us today. God, we ask that you speak to our hearts like never before. Oh, God, that you connect the dots in our heart by faith in Jesus' name. God, let your word come all together alive in us, God. Let us hear like we never heard before. Let your word come like it's never come before. And, Father, we give you all the praise for your presence here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand praise. Give your neighbor a warm embrace, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory be to God. Come on, touch somebody. Love on somebody. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because he first loved me. Ha. Oh, yes. I like that. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. We're here today. We're all in our place with bright, shining faces. Good morning to you. Amen. Let's jump into this word. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Everybody say problem solved. Say it again with me. Problem solved. We are in this problem-solving series, glory be to God, that just started off about with the P.S., amen, God wanting to write after, amen, just how much he loved us and that he has some things in store for us, amen. All right, so let's jump into our confession for the day. Our confession simply says, my faith is being rewarded. Say that with me. My faith is being rewarded. Say it again, rewarded. We're going to talk a little bit about this today, glory be to God, because I want to stir your faith in the arena of knowing that God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Talking about God. Can't please him without faith. You ain't got a hairstyle that'll tickle his feather. Amen. But with faith, amen, you'll tickle his feather. Amen. All right. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that today, because it's inside of our lesson. Amen. Because I want to stir you. God said this to me a couple of weeks ago. Amen. To teach on this. And I've been interweaving it in our messages to believe again in answered prayer. I said, believe again in answered prayer. He wants his people to believe that he answers prayer. Amen. See, because famine seasons of our life, amen, will make us think that God has forgot about us, that he's no longer answering our prayers anymore, amen? But all I want you to know, he said from the throne, he answers prayer. Okay, ain't nobody excited about me, but glory be to God. I got some prayers I need answered, amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So today, our focus today is this. Problem solving, P.S., problem solving, unbreakable faith, triple threat. Everybody say triple threat. Today, you're going to go out here as a triple threat. Amen. All right. Glory be. Anybody don't mind being a triple threat? Glory be to God. Over in Ecclesiastes, he said a three-quart strand is not easily broken. Glory be to God. So throw your hands up and say, I'm a triple threat. Kingdom points, faith in the rewarder and the reward. Second kingdom point, famine faith. Third kingdom point, famine, faith, seed. So we got to have faith in the rewarder, and then we're going to talk about, amen, how to have faith in famine seasons of our life, amen. And then how to have the seed, a faith seed in that famine season. Glory be to God. So we're going to do all that together. And inside of that, give you the triple threat formula. And then you'll be on about your way. Watch this. Our governing truths, glory be to God. Our governing truths, amen, we've been building up on this. 1 Peter 5:7 saying, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, have you been casting? Have you been casting your cares? Or you've been letting them marinate? You've been letting your cares marinate. Amen. I was talking to one believer the other day. Amen. I saw some marination of their cares. Amen. Because I didn't really know they was there. But we started discussing. And the care popped up. And I had to remind them, one, we don't fight alone. Amen. Telling them, say, we don't fight alone. Now, I understand that the enemy, amen, don't take any days off. So I can understand we can win one fight with you today, and you can have another one tomorrow. Someone say, that's okay. We go to battle again. Amen. Don't let the enemy trick you into holding on to your cares. No, cast your cares over on him because he cares for you. Now, there's another part inside of this governing truth foundation that I'm building. And I want to take you to that last bullet. It says, God provides overcoming breakthrough seed. Say that with me. God provides overcoming breakthrough seed. Now, that's going to become real important as you understand how the seed is interwoven into your faith process. Okay? So Isaiah 55 and 9 through 11. Let's take a brief look at that. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is God talking. So God saying, I got some ways that's higher than yours. I got some thoughts that's higher than yours, and I need you to get a hold of my thoughts and my ways. Now, he wouldn't tell us that if he wouldn't give us the ability to that. So he says to us in the New Testament that we have the mind of Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, I got the mind of Christ. I got a higher mind. Okay, I want you to start using your higher mind. Amen. All right, now let's go on with this. He says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, he's going to do a comparison. He gives us that analogy. Then he says in verse 11, So shall my word be. Everybody say, so shall his word be. His word is going to look just like the analogy that he listed in the verse above that. Watch this now. I'm trying to slow myself down. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Watch this. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing which I please, and it shall prosper into the thing whereinto I sent it. So his word is going to be like a seed. And he's going to give you the seed. Watch it. Okay, let's go back. I got to deal with this for just a moment. Let's go back to verse 10. For as the rain that cometh down and snow from heaven. Everybody say something from God. Everybody say it again, something from God. Okay, that something from God for us is his word, okay? And it maketh it bring forth his bud. His word, amen, will start budding things in your life. What buzz? Everybody say a seed. A seed, eventually, if you plant it, it will bud, okay? So we got his word coming down like a seed, and it's going to bud, and it's going to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, it's going to, watch this, it's going to accomplish. Everybody say it's going to accomplish. It's going to accomplish. All right, then let's go back up to verse 11 again, and make it, seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Okay, so it's going to accomplish, and then it's going to do what he pleased, and it's going to prosper in the thing he sent it to do. So when God gives you a word, all of that promise is backed up by him. Oh, yeah. I said all that promise is backed up by him. But you got to stop and get a snapshot of the picture. He said, now my word is going to act like this. It's going to come in seed form. When you sow the seed, it's going to produce a bud. Wow, that's good. Don't that change your view? Because we don't want a bud. We want the whole thing cooked and delivered on the table. I wish I had a little help up in here. But everybody say, it's going to come in seed form. Then I'm going to have to do something with that seed. And then that seed is going to go through a process to produce a harvest in my life. Now, stay with that formula, amen, so the enemy, amen, won't trick you in your patient season to abort the germination process of the seed. Because this is how God's going to bless you. Everybody say, he's going to bless me through the seed process. Let's go deeper. Let's go deep. So quick review on how we got up to this point of unbreakable faith and this triple threat. So God gave us this word on PS, problem solve, and then he totally shared with us inside of that he is a partnering with us, that God is a partnering spirit, that God cares about me, and that God is my helper. Amen. He cares about me, and God is my helper. So God is going to help me in this. He wants me, amen, to win. Amen. And he's backing me to win. Amen. Okay. Now, in order for me to win, we discovered that I must participate with him. So I got to be a participating soul. Everybody say participating soul. Amen. You know, you saw the movie, Help Me Help You. God said to you, help me help you. I need you to participate with me. Here's our participation. Be willing and obedient. Everybody say, be willing and do what he say do. If you be willing and do what he say do, amen, you got the victory. Watch this. So not only did we find out that he's a partnering spirit, that he wants us to participate, then we found out something that just rocked my world. That Jesus came to connect us again to the blessing. I said, Jesus came to connect us again to the blessing. You remember, I can't take you there because we just in review, but you remember back in Genesis, after God had made Adam, he blessed Adam, gave Adam dominion power, turned the whole earth over to Adam. You follow what I'm saying? Then Adam fell. Amen. And got disconnected from the blessing. But oh, I heard Jesus say in the New Testament, I come that you may have life. And I come that you may have it more abundantly. I come to reconnect you to the blessing factor that God has set aside for you. You was disconnected for a season, but I came to connect you back. You ever been working on something, glory be to God, your computer, and it went out, glory be to God, and then you try to figure, oh my God, did the computer die? No. All of a sudden, just the plug got knocked out from the power source. Tell your neighbor, say, you're all right. You just got to get reconnected to the power source. And Jesus came to make that connection. I feel like shouting. He came to make that connection in your life. Now, you got to take that faith, amen, with you through your famine seasons. Because you got to understand, famine's going to mean something different to you because you've been reconnected to the blessing. Throw your hands up and say, I'm connected to the blessing. Yeah. Then we talked about this, amen, operating with the blessing. Now, just like his thoughts is higher than our thoughts, just like we got to understand that we got to participate with God and do it God's way, amen, we got to know how to operate with the blessing. Amen. Yeah, there's a certain mindset that you got to have in operating with the blessing. Now, Esau, amen, wasn't too keen on the blessing factor, so he disregarded it, so he sold it for a meal because he didn't think nothing was with it. Yeah. Nothing was to it. You follow what I'm saying? So I don't want you to be that way, and I don't want to be that way. I want to value what Jesus did. Because it cost heaven its greatest resource to make this happen. Amen. So here's how me and you need to act with the blessing. Amen. Operate with the blessing. First thing is, we need to act like we're blessed. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, you got an opportunity right now. You got an opportunity. You got an opportunity right now. Look at them again. Say, you got some opportunity right now because you ain't acting like you're blessed. Yeah, I need you. The pastor said, act like you're blessed. I said, act like you're blessed. See, when you're operating with the blessing, amen, you got to act like you're blessed. Here's some things what you're in the acting like. First thing is, you got to get your confidence back. Amen. You got to get your swagger back. I like that word, swagger. You got to get your swagger back. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. So in my casting, I cast my cares, but I keep my confidence. Cast not away my confidence, for it has great recompense or reward. Amen. So I want to get my confidence back up. Has anybody, amen, other than me, amen, your confidence been under attack? If your confidence stays under attack, amen, and you don't do anything about it, the attacker will convince you that you can't do it. Okay. Here's how they train elephants. Anybody got good memory in here? Anybody say, I got good memory, because the memory of the saints are blessed. Amen. God. Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's how they train elephants. When they're very young, they put a very strong chain on them. Amen. Now, the nature of the elephant is to wander and to move. Amen. But every time he moves, he pulls up against that chain. The chain at that particular point is stronger than he is. So every time he pulls up against it and can't go any further, it tells the elephant, you cannot go beyond this point. Amen. And every day he has this experience that he can, oh, I feel like preaching today. He cannot go beyond this point, but he's just a baby right now. He don't realize his DNA, whoo, glory be to God, is factored in such a way they really can't manufacture chains strong enough to hold him when he's in his full glory. I wish I had some help over here. But while he's a child, amen, they're training him that he cannot do it. While you was a child, while you was away from God, while you was a child in God, the enemy was trying to train you on what you could not do. Because he know he can't handle you in your full strength. He know he ain't got a chain strong enough to hold you in your full strength. He knows that you've been made higher than he was. Amen. So then when the elephant gets old, they just put a little rope on him. Because the rope ain't what's really holding him. It's just something that feels around his leg that connects with his experience in his mind that tells him he cannot do this. I wonder if there's any ropes around you. That every time you get ready to step out, you just feel a little something on your ankle. And your own self tells your own self, oh, you can't do this. Your confidence been under attack. High five your neighbor, say, I'm going to get my confidence back. I'm going to get my swagger back. So when I'm operating with the blessing, one, I gotta walk with a swagger. Two, I gotta have my confidence back. And then I gotta expect God. Everybody say expect God. See, the enemy will even use some of your experiences to take away the expectation factor in your life. Oh, yeah, oh, okay. He's gonna teach us some things here today. Has anybody ever been disappointed? There's a couple of opportunities we get in life to be disappointed every calendar year. Birthday, Christmas, sometimes Valentine's Day, depending on where you're at in your relationship. I ain't trying to bring up no bad stuff here today. Y'all stay with me. Y'all smiling. Don't lose your smile. Tell your neighbor, say, don't lose your smile. You're going somewhere. Yeah, so a lot of times, amen, depending on how you came up, amen. You know, if birthdays was, let me just use birthdays as a little safer ground, I think. If birthday was celebrated in your house, and then that year came around, amen, and nothing happened. And then we'll forget, my brother tells this story sometimes. He rarely tells it anymore, but I didn't even realize it. His birthday is on April 4th. Well, there was a tragic event that happened on April 4th. So that particular day, everybody was caught up in the event that happened, and nobody was thinking about his birthday. But he was. Because we're all tuned in to what's in it for me. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, say, that's okay. Because I'm going to help you with that in a minute. So, amen. So a lot of times, in our disappointments, if we was expecting something and it didn't happen, what we'll do is we'll say, you know what? I'm going to stop expecting so I won't be disappointed. That came from the enemy. God said, keep expecting. Oh, high five your neighbor. Say, God said, keep expecting. Because you will not be made ashamed. Oh, I hear the Lord. He said, you will not be made ashamed. Oh, we're going to get to it. So everybody say, expect God. Glory be to God. And then the last one in operating with the blessing is the sowing factor. Everybody say the sowing factor. And I'm going to deal with that today. And here's your triple threat. You're going to learn how to sow in what you say. You're going to learn how to sow in seed form. And then you're going to learn how to sow in show. Everybody say, seed, show. All right. And then the last part of the review, glory, it says, my problem, his glory. Amen. Come on, pat yourself on your heart and say, my problem, his glory. And I'm casting this problem. See, God wants to get the glory out of your life by solving your problem. He needs you to participate with him, amen, cast the care over on him and let him solve it. Not your way, but his way. He has a way, amen, that he can solve the problem, get glory, and also bring others to come to know him all in one fell swoop through your life. Amen? So that's why, glory be to God, when God solves your problem, don't change the testimony. Now, a lot of times when we get blessed, amen, we leave out certain factors in the testimony. We don't want to tell people how bad it really was. Well, when you do that, glory be to God, the person whose problem looks worse than what you are saying, amen, God can no longer use your testimony because you made it so pretty. They can't relate anymore. Everybody say, leave it ugly. Because it was ugly. But he solved the problem. It ain't ugly no more. All right. So my problem is going. Now let's jump into the word for today. Faith is in the rewarder and the reward. Hebrews 11:6 said, but without faith it's impossible to please them, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek it. Now that's a set truth. Everybody say set truth. In other words, that's how it works. You got to believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So a lot of people, you know, they say they try God, but they didn't believe that he was. It don't work unless you believe that he is. Amen? And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that Hebrews 11:6 become a very, very powerful verse there. And then it says, he is a rewarder. Throw your hands up and say, he is a rewarder. Say it again, he is my rewarder. Because, see, the enemy will try to tell you, glory be to God, amen, that one, all your reward is on the other side. Two, God ain't going to help you right here. Both of those are lies. Amen. All your reward is not on the other side. No, you have reward on the other side, but he also said in this life too. There is something built into us. Amen. That reward is very important. It's very important. Amen. Everybody say very important. Not very. You could be having a job. You could have a job, and it can give you great financial. They can start you off with a great, great salary. So much so, you go home tell everybody. You ain't gonna tell them what you made, but you tell everybody, "Whew." As good as that salary is. After you show up working there for a year, 2 years, and there is no added on reward factor, there's something that feels like a loss on the inside. Start feeling unappreciated. Oh, wish I had some help. Am I talking to the right crowd? So there's something about us that reward becomes very, very important. And God, amen, I believe it came from God. And God says, I'm a rewarder. So watch that. So I understand how you're wired, and I know how to speak to that. Watch this. So Psalms 12-14 says this. And 13 is a key verse. It says, 13 says, I had fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So this writer here is saying, if I didn't get to the place of believing that I was going to see some of God's goodness, not over yonder, but over here, I would have fainted. In other words, I would have gave up. In other words, not that I don't love him, I just need something else. Okay. Let's see what he said before and what he said after. Before, in verse 12, he said, deliver me not over into the will of my enemies, for false witnesses has risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So he understands that I'm in a place that I have some problems. I need my relationship with God to be able to address those problems. If my relationship with God cannot address the problems I have, I'm going to start having problems with my God. A little too strong for you, huh? No. Well, whether you say it or not, that's where your mind goes. It don't matter how good the car look. If the car can't make it down the block, you ain't have no confidence in that car. I ain't riding in that car. They bragging about across that, but they don't really realize it won't go down the block. This is how it look in your spiritual life. When you don't believe God is rewarding you, you stop talking to him about it. Him to others. They be sitting at the table talking all kind of stuff, and you know God can fix all that. You be, when he fixed mine. Let's go deep. Amen. So he said, I need you to deliver me from my enemies. Then he said, I have fainted now, except I was going to see his goodness. Everybody say, I'm going to see his goodness. Then you ain't got to worry about it, because whatever God write, he write in his word, he can back it up. He going to back it up. Watch it. Then he says, now, this is how I'm going to see his goodness. Verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Everybody say, get your confidence. The writer says, now, I need you to wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart and wait, I say, on the Lord. So notice he said, wait on the Lord. Everybody say, wait on the Lord. Then he said, be of good courage. Okay, give your confidence a boost. And then he says again, wait, I say again, on the Lord. Amen. He's going to strengthen my heart. Now, don't miss this part. So in the process of seeing the blessing manifest, I'm going to need some strength. See, the enemy would told you, amen, while you was going through, because you needed some strength, that you're punk. Ain't nothing to your walk. Well, he's written right in here, I'm going to need some strength. Amen. I can expect before it shows up, I'm going to need God to strengthen me. Amen. I'm going to take you somewhere. Jesus came to go to the cross. But before he got there, he needed God to come and strengthen him in the garden to get to the cross. Oh, I wish I had some help up in there. Tell you to say, that was Jesus. If Jesus needed some strength, oh, I think I need a double dose. Am I talking to any real folk? So ain't nothing wrong with God, with you needing some strength from God. Here's what God said, I'm going to give you the strength. Matter of fact, I'm going to even tell you how to get the strength. Let the weak say. Oh, I think you're on that. Everybody say, let the weak say. I'm strong. There's another verse. Let me put this in there. It's not in your notes, but let me put this in there. There's a verse that says, how many realize that the joy of the Lord is your strength? You with us? The scripture says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So the key is, well, how to get my joy. Since my strength is locked into the joy, okay, I need to focus on getting my joy. Now, there's a couple of processes the scripture gives us for joy. One of them, he said, leap for joy. Amen. Well, that's, everybody say, that's just one process. Is there anything else in there? Yeah, it is. Because y'all didn't leap, I was tired. So I'm tired of leaping. I'm sweaty, tired, and I'm still don't have no joy. Here's another one. Jesus said, ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. In other words, you need a response from heaven. Amen. So your joy will be full. Oh, yeah, am I talking to anybody? It's something about it when you see God bless you that gives you a joy like no other. I think I got one witness in the room, but I'm going for the rest of y'all. No, it's something about it when it comes through. Amen. And it don't even matter what it is. You can misplace your keys and say, Lord, where's the keys? And he said, they're right over there. Amen. And just the mere fact that he said it so clearly and it was right over there changes your whole day. Amen. God talking to me. God talking to me. I wish I had some help. God talking to me. Glory be to God. He ain't forgot me. What you talking about, devil? He ain't forgot me. I'm not alone. He told me where the keys were. Glory be to God. I know I got some other stuff he's working on, but he's talking to me. Your joy level comes up. So when you need your joy, ask him some stuff. Oh, come on. Everybody say, ask him for some stuff. I know you got your big thing out there, but ask him for some stuff. Amen. Amen. Ask him. Oh, God sent this to the ministry house several years ago. We need to go back to it. Ask him for a kiss. Yes. Say, God, I need a kiss today. Yes. And just accept it any way it comes. Everybody, I don't care how I show up, but I need a kiss today. Your kiss could have been that you know, I went somewhere and I was getting taxed. And I got such favor, because I don't like going to the DMV. That's an experience all of us own, you follow us here. They're working on it. I got to give them some props. They're working on getting better. Glory be to God. But, you know, sometimes you go in there and come out 5 years older, you know. But anyway, I went there and was at the booth, and they had all these new processes changed. But I got such great favor from the lady. You know, and she let me sit on the phone. I called the insurance person, let me put the insurance on the car all while I'm on the phone at her booth, tying up her booth, and she just waited there patiently. Amen. Okay, y'all ain't never went to the DMV here in Denver. But anyway, you find, everybody say, favor. Yeah, and that little thing blessed me. Because why? There's favor on my life. That's what he said, and then that's what I experienced. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you're going to have to get off your high horse now. You're going to have to ask God for some stuff. I'm talking about some stuff in between that big thing you want him to do. I know you want him to do that, but on the way there, can you ask him for some other stuff? Can you ask him for a kiss on the way? Let's go a little deeper. Watch it. Genesis 15. And after these things, watch this. I'm going to show you how he dealt with his boy Abraham. Genesis 15. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. So God is coming to Abraham saying, look here, I'm your shield. I got your back. And not only do I have your back, I'm your reward factor. Throw your hands up, say, he's my shield. And he's my reward. Now you got to hold to that, because sometimes some darts get through and then the enemy want to tell you, see, God ain't your shield. Tell your neighbor, say, he's my shield. And he's my reward factor. All right. Got my verse here. Then verse 2. And Abram said unto the Lord, watch this. Watch what Abraham's saying. Because Abraham, at this point, has not got the reward from God. Amen. That will scratch his itch. This whole relationship with him and God started out about a son. Ain't no son yet. And he done clocked some years. I wish I had a little help. I'm going to help somebody. I said he done put some years in. All you that ready to give up after 2 weeks, we ain't even talking to you. We're talking about some people that have been in this thing for a while. Who've been waiting on God to move for a while. Okay. Watch it. Okay, he says, this is Abraham's response after God telling them. Abraham said, Lord, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one is born to my house as an heir. In other words, my servants are going to take everything I got, because I ain't got my reward yet. This is Abraham talking back to God. God comes back to him and says, oh, no, that's not how the story going to end. Your servants is not going to get what you got. You're going to have your own son, and he's going to inherit everything you got. It's going to be just like I said it was going to be. But notice Abraham, whose children you are, wanted a reward. I'm trying to help somebody. Tell your neighbor, say, you know what? I'm going to put my hands back on my reward. And I almost let some people that didn't know what they was talking about talk me out of my reward. Amen. Talking about I'd be more holy without my reward. No. This says right here, not only is it right for me to want my reward, I need my reward. Amen. If I don't believe to see his goodness in this side, I'm not going to make it. And I got to make it. So I got to believe. I'm going to see his goodness. So now, after this exchange, right inside this conversation, God introduces to Abraham a principle that I'm going to share with you, and we're almost out of time for today. A principle on how to get the reward that he already set aside in heaven. Remember I told you Jesus has connected us to the blessing? That verse says God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So everybody say it's already there. Now, okay, he connected us to what was already there. Then I got to get from what's there to here. Look at your neighbor and say, because I ain't in heaven yet. So me and my blessing need to be on the same turf. God, for lack of time, I'm going to have to take you through this quickly. Shares with Abraham. Abraham, your son been sitting here in heavenly places. I put it here before the foundation of the world. I put it here before I tapped on your shoulder. I put it here before I spoke into your life. It's right here. Now I'm going to show you how to get it from here into your life. Anybody want to know? The conversation, go back and read it, Genesis 15. God tells Abram, he said, Abram, prepare this offering, this sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. If you look inside the sacrifice, there's an offering of these doves. Everybody say doves. Now, most of us, we just read through that because, like, we don't do the dove turtles thing. Oh, come on, y'all. When last time you brought a lamb to church? No, we got our lamb, amen? Amen. But Christ hadn't died yet, so he's bringing this offering. And this offering, inside of all these other animals that he splits, and that's for the making of the covenant, and God and brings up there. But then he gets these birds, these doves, and the doves are literally what you would offer to God after he gave you a son. The doves was the thank you. You blessed today, I almost threw you. The doves were the thank you for something he ain't got yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, now bring me the thank you for what you believe in me for. In other words, I want you to sow it in advance. Everybody say, sow it in advance. So he tells him, sow this seed. Everybody say, this seed. Because you understand later, if you stay with the teacher, that every seed will bear fruit after its own kind. So he wanted a son, so he sowed the seed of thank you, amen, that was tied to the son. Because that's what he wanted. That's what he was believing God for. I'm asking you what you're believing God for. When you begin to believe God for, the next thing you want to do is go into seed identification. Everybody say seed identification. All right, three particular areas, and I'm going to have to say this in 60 seconds. Go ahead, Tommy. I got you. I got it. Everybody say seed identification. There's three areas. Your triple threat, because I want you to at least leave with that today. We're not going to get to all of it, but I want you to at least leave with the triple threat. The first thing is in sowing is say. Everybody say say. So when I speak the word of God, I'm actually sowing the word of God, and I'm actually sowing it back into my heart. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? So now here's some principles around this. You can't just say it one time. Don't put more effort in learning how to ride a bicycle than you put into getting your breakthrough. You didn't try the bicycle one time, amen, and then it didn't work, so you kicked the bicycle and said, I ain't going to never get on that thing again. No, you kept working with it. Amen. So tell you never say, I'm going to put more effort in my breakthrough. I'm not going to just say the word one time. You're going to model after this woman. Watch what she said. Matthew 9:21. This is the woman who touched the hem of the garment. She said, for she kept saying. This is a different translation. It says, for she kept saying. Everybody say, for she kept saying. For I will keep saying. I keep saying. I keep on saying. What God going to do? I keep on saying what the word of God says. I keep on saying that he is my rewarder. I keep on saying it's going to work for me. I keep on saying things are turning for me. I keep on saying it. She kept saying. Now, what she said had to be in line with what she wanted. Because every seed bears fruit after its own kind. So she said, well, if I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. Not if I touch him, he's going to turn around and look at me, because I don't care if he look at me or not. Not if I touch him, I'm going to be better. I don't want to be better. I want to be whole. Amen. To be better healed. Okay, so she kept saying it. Now, here's what you, if you go back, stay with me. I'm at the board. 30 seconds. If you go back to Abraham, when God taught him the principle of sowing those doves and sowing those other animals in sacrifice, the carcasses tried to come and eat the sacrifice. Your seed will come up under attack. In other words, you're going around saying the word of God, and that is going to come up under attack. You're going to have to shoo those off and stay with what God said. Sometimes you get up and you say, I'm blessed and highly favored, and it just seems like all hell break loose. Amen. But you're going to have to keep saying what he says. That's just the enemy trying to get the words of life out of your mouth, because he knows, amen, the word in your mouth is powerful. Amen. Amen. Oh, I feel the Lord. Y'all going to have to give me some time. I got to get this in there. Watch this one. How many watched it? I'm just going to borrow this analogy because it works. How many ever watched the thing Superman? You might say Superman, and you know, wherever he was, Krypton, whatever he was from, glory back. He could do all this stuff, but he couldn't handle a kryptonite. Right. It was just something about that particular thing, amen, just took all his strength. You follow what I'm saying? Amen. All right, so watch this. God's word in a man's mouth is the most powerful thing on this planet. Everybody say, on this planet. Because that is the alignment of authority. Who glory be to God? Amen. Because, see, that's what the enemy understands now. Because if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked way, and pray. Everybody say pray. Put words in their mouth and ask me. It legally lets me get involved. A man got to do it. Everybody say, I got to do it. It's something when the word is in your mouth. Yeah. I mean, back in college, somebody, amen, they was just trying all kind of things. Amen. They slept on their Bible. Don't make for a good night's sleep. And it don't do you no good. But if you put that word in your mouth, everybody say, I'm going to keep on saying. Everybody say, I'm going to keep on saying. One more. Everybody say, seed. Now, when we come back together, I'm going to put this in alignment so you understand all of this has to happen inside of your famine seasons. I'm talking about sowing when you don't have. Amen. To get what you want. To get what's already there unlocked for you. Amen. Abraham didn't have a son. God challenged him, give me the offering for a son. Okay. Amen. All right. So in Kings, in 1 Kings 17, that's what I'm going to do. Everybody say seed, sowing. Okay. Now, so you get an understanding when God is challenging you to sow seed, it's not about the preacher trying to take another offering. It's a God principle to get things transferred from heaven to earth. Did God set up? Everybody say, did God set up? My God, I wish they would have taught me this a long time ago before they taught me wrong and I was all like, I don't understand it. They should have came out just straight up saying, no, this is a God system. His ways is higher than my ways. And he said, this is how it gets, because it's there, but we know it got to get from there to here. Amen. Everybody say, sow a seed. When God, I'm going to close with this. Wanted to get man back. Amen. How many know he wanted to get man back? Yes. Now, I know we've all thought about this. Well, God, who was watching? Why don't you just wipe it all away and throw it all over? Mm-hmm. God said, I was watching myself. Mm-hmm. Okay. In other words, I got self-integrity. Yes. Yes. Amen. I'm checking my own self. Yes. I can't just do that. To get man back, amen, I got to use what I'm going to give you to use. So God said, I want him back, so I got to sow a seed. Amen. Looked over Jesus, I need a seed to get man back. I need you to put on a body and become a man. Yeah. And I'm going to put you on the cross and put you in the grave for 3 days. Because every seed got to go into the ground and die. And germinate. Oh, you ain't heard me yet. Glory be to God. But don't worry about it. After 3 days, I'm going to come get you back up. And when I get you up, I'm going to have access to.
You have just heard another life-transforming message from Life by Design Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.lbdm.org. And remember, God has a design and purpose for your life.
Oh, man, again. Why? Because I sold the seed. Oh, high five your neighbor and say, sow the seed. God did. You can too. It worked for God, and it'll work for you. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Glory be to God. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Oh, my God. Sometimes we just need a little bit more time with this word, don't we? God did it. He followed his own process. He ate his own.